Right, to John. To the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the very beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this love that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings.
Thank you, Mandy. Please do keep that part of God's word open in front of you as we turn there now. Let me also just take this opportunity to thank the welcome team. It's been really tricky over the last few months, hasn't it, to reinvent welcoming people when you have to wear masks and when you have to seat people specifically and so many other complications as well. And John Mark, who welcomed you today, he and Roger kind of spearhead the two services in terms of the welcome team. But I know there's many of you as well who are part of that welcome team on Arota. So thank you to you all for what you're doing. I think we all feel very welcome, don't we? So praise God for that, and thank you for your hard work. Let's pray, shall we, as we turn to John. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much once more for the privilege of being able to be together. Yes, we thank you for those who serve on the welcome team, but also, Lord, the various other ways in which people are serving in new ways at the moment too. We thank you that we can be together. We thank you that we can sit under your word in a language that we understand. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, who enables us to pray as we have already prayed and to sing your praises as we've already done and to hear and understand your word. So please send your Spirit now that we might understand what you have to say to us in this part of your holy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn on your TV or your radio and you go on to a Christian channel, a Christian station. And it's Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen or Joseph Prince or Creflo Dollar. And they're talking, despite what Joe says, they're talking. They're quoting from the Bible. They're talking about God. Should you listen? Or you come across, say, a ministry on Facebook, or a friend sends you a link. And this ministry, they're saying, if you give to this ministry of God, if you give us some of your money, you can expect God's great blessing on your life. And so you take a look and you see, well, they've got millions of followers and it's in a big church building. And it seems to be that this person is he's a man of God. Should you give to that ministry? Or we hear of churches or church leaders or Christians who say, do you know what? Love is love. It doesn't matter what gender you are or what gender your partner is. Love is love. We want to be a tolerant, a loving, a welcoming church. Should we follow suit? The Apostle John writes this short letter. It's an urgent letter, and he writes it to emphasize just how important the truth is. This really is an urgent letter. It's always a bit worrying when you get that word at the top of a piece of post, isn't it? Well, as it comes through to this church family, this is a urgent letter. You can see that it's urgent from what he says in verse 12. He says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The Apostle John knew what we have all experienced over the last 18 months or so. Technology is a good thing. Technology, whether it be a paper and ink, whether it be the internet, technology is a useful thing and a necessary thing for connecting us when we are physically separated. But it's way, way better to be face-to-face, to be in person. There's so much more joy, like he says there in verse 12, that our joy may be complete when you're face-to-face. We experienced something of this week as elders. We had an elders meeting on Monday, and it was the first time for several months that we'd been in person instead of Zoom. And it was such a joy to be able to be together in that setting, not least because we had some lovely cookies and tea and grapes and things like that to enjoy to keep us going for the night. But more to the point, it was just great to be able to be together as we prayed and as we planned, to be able to be face to face in the same room physically together. And in a similar way, John says, look, I've got other stuff I want to say to you, verse 12, that there's much that I want to write to you. I want to speak to you more when we're face to face. But the contents of this particular letter are so urgent that he can't wait. They are so urgent that he feels it is necessary to just rattle off this quick emergency signal, this warning letter, so that they will get the message as soon as they can. It really is urgent. And I want to say it's just as urgent for us today. John wants us to see this morning just how important the truth is. The truth. Just take a look in the first four verses. Have a look in your Bible. In the first four verses, how many times does he mention the word truth? Count it up. In those first four verses, five. I heard someone say five. Five is the correct answer. 1,000 points for you. Five times in the first four verses, he's talking about the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth. Was that five? I think so. The truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth. He wants us to be upfront, in no doubt at all about what his main theme is. He is talking about the truth. You must stick to the truth, he says. You must stick with Jesus. You must follow his teachings. You must follow in his footsteps. It really matters that we continue on in his word and in his ways. And in the rest of this short letter, John says that in a positive way and then in a negative way. So the first thing that he encourages us, I keep looking there for my pens, but they're here. The first thing that he says positively is walk in the truth. The truth is what's really important. So walk in the truth. Truth is so important, John says, because truth is the basis for love. Truth is the basis for love. Without true Christian truth, we cannot have true Christian love. This is a bit of a concept to wrap our heads around. So just try and follow me with this one, okay? Without true Christian truth, we actually cannot have true Christian love. You see, the truth is actually why we love. The truth is the reason for our love for one another. Take a look at what he says in verse 1. He describes himself there as the elder, and he's writing to the lady chosen by God and to her children. Now, this lady has a sister, verse 13. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. This is John's affectionate way of addressing a church. The lady and her kids, they are one local church, and the sister who sends greetings, that's one of their sister churches. And look how he describes his relationship with this local church family. verse 1, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. How does he describe his relationship with these people? He loves them. Yeah, this is John's favourite word, probably. The word love. He says, I love you. But notice how he says, verse 1, that he loves them in the truth. And verse 2, he loves them because of the truth. Can you see that the truth is the foundation for the love that they share? The true good news of Jesus is the thing that unites us in family love. The true good news of Jesus is the thing that creates that family and therefore creates that family love. Truth is the reason for Christian love. And without the foundation of truth, the building of love will crumble and fall. We've got an architect in the congregation today. He will know that to be true. Without the foundation of love, the building will crumble and fall. Truth is why we love. I mean, just think about it in terms of our own church family. Think about the ways in which we serve one another, even when that's costly to ourselves. Or the way in which we are willing to forgive one another, even when we've been wronged and offended by each other. Or think about the joy that we have when we see each other, or when we pray for one another. We have a love for each other which is not natural. If you think about us as a group of people, there is no natural way that we would have this kind of love for each other. We share a love that would be impossible apart from the truth of Jesus, which unites us in that family love. You might hear people saying things along the lines of, if you insist on truth, actually that is unloving. If you insist on a particular set of beliefs and you say, no, that is the truth. If you insist on that, that is unloving, that is intolerant. But actually, can you see, it's actually quite the opposite. The truth is the foundation for our love. Truth creates loving community. It is in truth and in love that verse 3 tells us, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Truth and love are foundational for the Christian life. Truth, then, is why we love. Are you with me so far? Does that make sense? Only a couple of nods. Do I need to go back and try? Let me try and phrase it in a different way. Truth is the reason why we have love for one another. Apart from the truth, if we did not have the truth, and the truth here really is a way of summarizing Jesus, everything that Jesus teaches, and the way of life that Jesus commands. That is the kind of the body of truth. And we might think that that is kind of in addition to the love that we have. But what John wants us to see is actually truth and love go together. And without the truth, if you take away the truth of Jesus, you won't actually have the love that we have. If we were to remove from this church family the Bible, say, look, we're a group of people. We love each other already. It's all good. It's all fine. We don't need the Bible. We don't need the teachings of Jesus. We can just be a community for good. If we were to do that, our love would quickly disintegrate. We do not have truth except for the truth. We do not have love except for the truth of Jesus. Hopefully that makes sense to more of you now. If it doesn't, come and talk to me afterwards and I'll try and make it clearer again. But truth, therefore, is why we love. And it's also how we love. Again, follow me on this one. Whenever I read anything written by the Apostle John, I find it really confusing. Anyone else on that? I can follow other parts of the Bible a bit easier. But with John, I'm just like, wait, what are you saying? And I've said this before. I think one of the first things I'll do when I get to heaven, I'm not meaning this in a flippant way, but I would like to sit down with the Apostle John and say to him, so what did you mean by all of what you're writing? Because he just gets so like, it's so, anyway, that's just me perhaps. But just try and follow this again, because it's quite profound, but it's quite important for us to understand. Truth is why we love, it is also how we love. Take a look at verse 4. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. This is what God has commanded us, to walk in the truth. Walking in something is a habitual thing. It's talking about an ongoing process. To be a Christian is not about entering in through a particular gate. It's about walking along a particular path. To be a Christian is not just a one-time belief in the things and the truths about Jesus. It is an ongoing walk in the ways of Jesus. We are called to walk in the truth. And what does it mean to walk in the truth? Well, it's the way of love. Verse 5. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Do you see how verse 6 works there? Yeah, have a look. Dig down. Use your brain, right? So we've got love. And how is love defined there in verse 6? What is love? Obedience, yeah, walking in obedience. So love is walking in obedience to the commands of Jesus. And what is the command of God? Love. This is what I find John confusing, right? But it's actually, once you get your head around it, it's quite profound. In John's mind, love for one another and obedience to Jesus are indistinguishable. They are one and the same thing. They are intimately connected to each other. True love is intimately connected to true truth. If you are not in step with the teaching of Jesus, you will not be in step with the people of Jesus. You cannot love like Jesus loves if you don't trust what Jesus teaches. Like we saw last week, God is love. And therefore, God defines love. He has commanded us to live lives of love. And that is impossible apart from the truth of Jesus. The truth of Jesus is the only way that we can truly love one another. We are not free to just make up our own definition of what love looks like. God is love. God always wants what is best for others. He always acts for the good of others. And so our love must be shaped by the words of our loving Creator God, who made us and knows what is best for our good and our flourishing. The truth, as it is found in the Word of God, is actually how we love best. And so we must trust God's definition of what is loving above and beyond our own feelings of what seems loving, especially where that feels unnatural or where that cuts against the grain of our society and our culture. Let me give you some examples. So when you lie to protect someone's feelings, is that loving? Or when you affirm a relationship which is outside of God's good design for marriage, is that loving? Or when we let sin slide, is that loving? Those things kind of feel loving, don't they? But actually, if we understand that love and truth are indistinguishable, we have to come to the conclusion that no, it's not loving. Actually, anything that goes against God's commands is not loving. Truth is how we love. Our love must be defined and shaped by the truth that we find in God's word. Jesus encourages us then to walk in the truth. If you're still with me, well done. The second point is slightly more easy to follow, so tune back in even if you've tuned out. The point really that John is making here, though, is to show us just how important truth is. Because without truth, we don't actually have love. If you've taken nothing else, then just take that away with you so far. Because of the truth, we have love. And therefore, the second thing that John warns us is this. Let's go with red. We should walk in the truth and watch out for the false. The reason that John wants to emphasize just how important truth is because there is a danger that we might be deceived by lies. Look at verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. There are wolves on the loose. They claim to be Christians. They use the name of Jesus. They quote the Bible. But they do not acknowledge that God actually came as a man. You might hear similar teaching like that today. You might hear people saying, you know, the life of Jesus, it's silly to think that that actually happened. Really, the Bible is there to be a kind of figurative thing. It's not supposed to be taken literally. But John says, absolutely not. Jesus' actual incarnation, his real humanity, his physical death and physical resurrection are absolutely central to what we believe. He really did come. He really did live a perfect life. He really did die in the place of sinners. And his real body really did really rise again. And anyone who teaches anything else, John says, is the deceiver and the antichrist. In verse 7, he says there are many of these deceivers. This isn't just a few random people who you'll never bump into. He says, verse 4, that it's given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. So some walk in the truth, but many will deceive. And so watch out, verse 8. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Watch out. Like a train, we are designed to run on tracks. They are given to us for our goods. So make sure you don't get led astray from the way. Otherwise you may lose your reward, verse 8. That's what it says. Lose the rewards that you have worked for, that we have worked for. Of course, we cannot lose our salvation because we did not earn it in the first place. But there is a great reward for those who walk on in the path of the truth. And so don't be deceived. Trains are not designed to go off-road. It's really serious, this thing. Verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. It's interesting that there in verse 9, this false teaching is described as people who run ahead. That's an interesting way of describing it, isn't it? Because false teaching, it often markets itself as progressive, as ahead of its time, moving forward. And those who stick to the truth of Jesus are looked back on as if you're old-fashioned or you're outdated. You know, you're lagging behind. But we are called actually to be those who walk in the truth, not run ahead of the truth and leave it behind. If someone does that, then actually John says they are not true believers. Verse 9, if someone runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, they do not have God. The measure of whether someone is a true man or woman of God is not how many followers they have, or whether they're on TV or on YouTube, or whether they have a big church building, or whether they do impressive miracles, or whether they give lots to charity. The measure of whether someone is truly a man or woman of God is whether they fully and faithfully teach the message of Christ in all of its fullness, even when that is an unpopular decision. And so verse 10, John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Do you remember the context that we saw described in Matthew chapter 10? How as these missionaries went out, they could expect hospitality. And as true followers of Jesus, true prophets of Jesus, went out to speak the words of Jesus, the followers of Jesus were told, welcome them in, put them up, provide for them, support their ministries. But now, John says, be discerning. In fact, in the third letter of John, 3 John, which we're going to look at in 2 weeks' time, Chris Howes, one of our mission partners, is going to come and preach on the book of 3 John. And that's kind of like a counterpart to 2 John. In 2 John, he's saying, don't welcome false teachers. In 3 John, he says, make sure you welcome true teachers. So they kind of go together. We should show hospitality, and in our culture, I guess that would mean support for ministries that are true, but we must also show discernment. Do not support false teachers. Don't give to them. Don't listen to their lies. Do not allow false teaching into your house through the TV or through radio or through social media. Don't assume that just because someone is on TV, just because someone is well regarded or talks about Jesus and quotes from the Bible, don't assume that they are a true teacher of God. Show discernment. You have been given the Holy Spirit in your heart. You have been given the Word of God in your hand. You are surrounded by mature Christians who can help you in judging whether something is true and or false. And so show discernment. Watch out. There's a warning here for us all. Watch out. Summer is coming. I don't know if you've ever, when you're on holiday in the summer, and whether you've ever bought one of those, maybe a watch or a bag or a football shirt from one of those market stalls, or from one of those people that come around the beach to sell you things. And then you've realised later on that it was obviously a fake. How do you spot a fake? Well, one of the ways you spot a fake is by knowing what the real thing looks like. And so actually one of the ways that you watch out for the false is as you walk in the truth. Walk closely with Jesus. Immerse yourself in his word and his ways so that you are not deceived to leave his side. After all, Jesus is the truth. In John's gospel that he writes, he describes Jesus as full of grace and truth. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And at his trial, which was full of lies, just before he went to die on the cross in the place of sinners, Jesus stood up and he said, the reason that I was born, the reason I came into the world was to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate responds by saying, what is truth? How about you? How will you respond to the truth of Jesus? John's urgent message to us today is that the truth is the basis for our love. So watch out for the false and walk in the truth. Let's ask for God's help in that. Our Father, we praise you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you have given us a word that we can totally rely on. And we praise you for the warning that we have here to watch out for those who would twist the truth and be out of tune with the truth. Give us that insight and discernment to know exactly what the truth is and to walk in the truth at all times. Protect us, please, from false teaching that would damage and distract us from Jesus himself. We pray this in his name and for his glory. Amen.